Good morning and welcome to episode 136 of Taking the Charge with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by yet again. I hope you guys enjoyed the baseball podcast that I had midweek. Like I said, when I did it, I was very excited about it and had a lot of fun doing it. So hope you guys enjoyed it. I think a few of you did. So this week's a special week. I've paid up my bet, and have a listener on the show, a loyal listener, Vince Stefanelli. So it's very cool that he was able to come on and just chat, talk a lot about various basketball things, NBA, EuroLeague, draft, international basketball. So plenty to enjoy there. Also had a chance to just have a nice chat with him, which was cool. And like I say, at the end of the interview and all the time, really, I really appreciate you guys being out there and being so supportive of the show. Without you, there'd be no show. So keep it up, and feel free to intensify it, if you will. If you want to get in contact with me, there's obviously Twitter. I'm available at Hein News. There's also the Facebook group, Taking the Charge. Just put Taking the Charge in there, and you will come to us. There's HeinNews@gmx.de is the email. HeinNews@gmx.de. And I guess HeinNews.com is the other way. So plenty of ways to get to us. I don't know if you've been following the website or the Facebook group, but a couple of things. I posted a couple of things this week. I wrote a long piece from my time up in Canada, up in Toronto, when I headed up to talk to Orangeville Prep coach Larry Blunt. Obviously, that interview was last week's show, before the baseball podcast, when I talked to Larry Blunt. And so I took that interview and some observations and various informations that I had and put them into a long piece. And if you have a chance, please take a look at that and give me some feedback. I'm kind of writing. I'm kind of thinking about doing some longer writing, and so that is a chance for me to get a feedback on how I did. There's some nice parts of it, but with a story that long, it's sometimes it's kind of hard to keep. Keep the reader really going and engaged. So if you have a chance, and I know it's long, but if you have a chance to go through it and offer me up some go ahead and offer me some constructive criticism. Really happy to hear that. The other piece I did was basically just putting up my observations that I had, sort of collected. Observation and information I had collected over the past couple of years about Paul Zipser, the 1994 German talent who is playing at Bayern Munich, and according to Jonathan Givoni over at Draft Express, is entering the draft in 2015. So put together my observations and just posted that, just so that people can kind of have that. So I guess without further ado, here's my chat with Vin Stefanelli, loyal podcast listener and very active in the Facebook group. He was the winner of our Taking the Charge bracket challenge, going into the NCAA tournament. So he the prize was to come onto the show, and so here's our chat with him, and really just be ready for plenty of talk on a lot of different topics. So enjoy. Okay, so this week on the show we have Vince Stefanelli, and Vince is the beneficiary of me having to fulfill a promise. Vince is a loyal listener to the podcast, and the winner of the Taking the Charge, what was it, Bracket Challenge? Is that what it's called? That's right?
Yeah, I do believe so.
Yeah, Bracket Challenge. He, it was a pretty disappointing bracket challenge from the Taking the Charge group, but I said whoever'd win would come on the show. So Vince won. I think you had Arizona over Michigan State the final, which didn't work out, obviously. But
nope.
And I guess you had Kentucky and Gonzaga, I think, in the final four.
Yes.
Which obviously didn't work out either. But you had six of the Elite Eight, which is where I think you gained most of your points.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because didn't think I had it. I kind of fill it out. I tried to think of it like a lot of people do. They try to take all this time and they try to figure out. I just went, real quick. The less thinking, the better. Obviously, that's how it turned out because I didn't have any teams in the final game. So, because you would.
Well, but I don't think anybody did. Nobody did.
Oh, they didn't? Nobody had Wisconsin? Or
no, because I picked Kentucky. And so I think everybody had, I think pretty much everybody else had Kentucky. And you had, so the only two in the final eight you were missing were, you had Kansas instead of Notre Dame, and you had UNI instead of Louisville.
That's not too bad, I guess.
6-8. It's not bad. 75%.
Doesn't say much for the collective podcast, college basketball knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. why don't we just start with that? Obviously it's still kind of fresh. Your thoughts about the Final Four? How much did you see? And it was really wasn't too far from your neck of the woods there.
No, yeah, I watched both Final Four games. Actually, the Michigan State Duke game, I missed the first half.
Yeah, so you missed the better half.
Yes, exactly. And then the second half, I kind of went off and got snacks and hung out a little bit. And the night game, yes, I saw the Kentucky-Wisconsin game. That was an excellent game. The national championship game, I did watch that. I was cheering for Wisconsin, being in Big Ten country here. I was cheering for the Big Ten team. But they didn't quite pull it off. And watching the games, I don't watch a whole lot of college basketball anymore, but I agreed with what you were writing. You wrote a column, I think, about watching the game in person, with the shot clock and the fouls and all the timeouts. And I pretty much agreed with everything you wrote, not just saying that, but it's just kind of hard to watch at times, the college game.
You know, there's another rule that I forgot to put in there, and I didn't, I think the next day I forgot, I was kind of kicking myself not to put it in there, was this rule that after you score, you can call a timeout before the other team inbounds. And I thought that's when I first saw that, because I was in Seattle and I saw that, and I was talking to the guy who covered, you know, college basketball the whole year and some West Coast stuff, and I said, "Can you do that?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's a rule." I'm like, "Wow, that's so." I mean, all right. To me, it seems that when you score the basket, you know, you're done with the possession. It's the other team, their chance to call a timeout.
It seems like it penalizes. Okay, you score and you set up a defense, you're getting penalized for setting up your defense too, because now they just call timeout and get the ball. So
yeah, it's
either way, you know.
It's really strange that the team that scores could call a timeout right away. But if you have the first pick in the draft, what would you do?
Wow.
I mean, okay, it depends a little bit on your needs, but in general.
Yeah, it depends on the team, and it seems like you would take the big man. That's kind of the traditional route. So it would be Okafor, what, Karl Towns? I guess you would probably take those one of those two. Not sure I would. I'd have to look a little bit more at who was in the draft and, I guess, like you said, what your needs were. But it seems a pretty safe bet to get one of those guys, even though they each have questions too. What would you do?
I think I would probably take Okafor over Towns, even though Towns is a much better defender. And I think you can work with him a little bit offensively. And you know, I mean, I think he's you know, he's also played internationally. What is he? He's Dominican, I believe. You know, so, you know, and I imagine he will have to play internationally, or he will want to play internationally. So I think there's a sort of an openness to maybe, you know, learn a little bit more of a different style of a game. The reason I bring that up is, you know, you look at a big guy who can play defensive rebound, and you think of my favorite player, Dwight Howard, but he's never been able to, like, learn any sort of offensive moves at all. You know, I mean, he's stuck yeah. with his dunks, and, you know, anything outside what, probably 5 feet, you know, he's worthless. So I think Towns is a guy that, you know, could maybe develop a little bit offensively. And I think it's more, okay, which does my team need from the big guy? Does it need to have scoring? So do I have a lot of scoring from my wings? And, you know, maybe even is my power forward an inside guy or an outside guy? Or do I need my big guy to score? And if I need my big guy to score, I'll take Okafor, just because he's so refined down low. And if I don't need a big guy at all, you know, I've watched Winslow the last, you know, this is the third year that I've watched him, and, you know, I love his game. He needs to learn a little bit of a jump shot, I think, you know, but, you know, all the things that he can do, and, you know, he's still younger. He's eligible to play, 19s this year. So, I doubt he'll be going to Greece this year, which is kind of disappointing. But, I mean, Winslow would probably be the only other guy. Unless I need a point guard, maybe you go Moutier, you know. This is going to be interesting to see what happens with Moutier, because, you know, he goes out and goes to China, you know, does some nice things, you know, is playing against high level, you know, pretty decent level competition. What happens when he comes back? You know, I mean, you know, this was a guy who was supposed to bring SMU to, you know, maybe the Final Four with Larry Brown. You know, I mean, this was a top five program with Moutier, and now he's, you know, he comes back. So if I need a point guard, you know, I don't need a big, but I would need a point guard, you know, maybe even Moutier, you know. So
yeah, if I was, depending on my needs, if I have the first pick, I might also listen to a lot of offers for that pick this year. Yeah. I mean, say you have the first pick and somebody really wants Okafor or Towns, and you might have, I mean, depending on the team, some inside scoring, or maybe that's not the direction you were going. You would listen, and somebody else has the fourth pick, and they're going to give you something else.
Yeah.
I mean, a team like the Celtics has multiple picks for the next how many years? 3-4 years. And with no clear cut, it seems that you might be willing to listen. I mean, because say you have the first pick, somebody really wants Towns. You trade it, and they have the fourth pick, and you pick up
two second rounders.
Yeah. You can even, and so you say somebody has second rounders, and they have the fifth pick. Yeah. They just want to move up to that first spot. You could get Hezonja, and you get a couple second rounders.
Yeah.
Or you can get like Winslow or Porzingis or somebody. So it'll be very interesting, the maneuvering, depending on how the draft lottery shakes up and who gets the number one pick.
I definitely think it's not a situation where it's, you know,
where it's Durant and Odom, where there's the two clear-cut guys, and if you don't take it, definitely the other guy's gonna decide. I think there's, with I mean, I think probably Okafor and Towns are the number one and two guys on most boards, but I mean, depending on who goes up there, I think some of these other guys are, have that quality that they could that they it's a legitimate it's a legitimate legitimate pick. I mean, or trading down, why not? It's a chance to it's a chance to maybe pick up another guy. So
I mean, if the tank that is the Philadelphia 76ers end up with the first pick, they just picked Embiid and they have Nerlens Noel. I
Exactly.
mean, they would be really listening to somebody who wants to offer them more for Towns or Okafor, or they could just say, okay, we're going to keep it. And like you said, they could draft Moutier to play, point guard. And then they bring in Saric, and then you have Embiid and you have Noel. So multiple options, depending. Or if conspiracy theorists, the Knicks or Lakers get the number one pick, then I could see them probably picking and taking the big guy.
Yeah, I
They don't
would.
have much talent.
Yeah, especially. I mean, actually, both of them. Both, neither of them have much talent. That's amazing. But I mean, it's the NBA. There's only 12 guys, and if you and you really only go, what do? You go eight deep. Nine deep. So, you only need three or four guys to necessarily turn it around. So, you can get better quicker,
I'm just wondering how much longer
Kobe.
this lottery system will be as it is,
Yeah.
with teams trying, well, they're not trying to lose, so to speak, but not putting their best product on the floor for multiple years in a row.
Yeah. Do you have a
And it's a,
do you know how you'd do it if you had a change?
say that again, I'm
Do you
sorry.
know how you would change it at all?
There's not really. I have to think about it. I mean, sometimes you just say, well, I just go back to the worst team, it's the first pick. But then they did that lottery in the first place because they thought teams were just racing to the bottom, some of them, to get that first pick.
I heard somewhere there was like a rotating system where 1 year you're first and then the next year you're last and then you go to the middle of the draft and then s
Well, I also thought too with just a thought. I mean, with a salary cap and roster spots, so you only have so many roster spots. What happens if they just threw everybody into the draft or the lottery?
in the lottery, yeah.
I mean, you could only get the first pick, say, once every 3 to 5 years or something. So if you got it 1 year, you couldn't get it again, the number one pick, say, and you just put everybody. So I mean, even the best team had a chance to get it. So you would never know. Everybody would have to try to win because it's not going to make any difference whether you lost or not. But North American sports are kind of, we have to make sure we have an even, kind of even it out like the NFL. So they give the worst teams the first pick. I never really, as a kid, I was always like, you're so rewarded for losing.
Exactly.
What's the, why are you rewarded for losing? There should be incentive to win. I mean, yeah, there should be, everybody should have the incentive, just as in sports, to try to win. But it just seems like some are like, oh, we'll try to win in 3 years. So you're not slashing ticket prices for the fans going to the games for those 3 years, are you? No. So they're paying full price tickets to go see an inferior product because you're trying to build a team for 5 years from now. But that's the nature of how things are now, I guess. With before it was these guys were in school for 3 to 4 years, so you knew you were getting Patrick Ewing, you knew you were getting Michael Jordan. Now it's kind of, yeah, these guys are good, but it's still kind of a crapshoot,
Well,
sort
plus you
of.
have the international guys too that you have to take into effect into account and trying to figure out, what they are or what they aren't,
I know, exactly. I remember being in high school, and when I was a huge Celtics fan, Larry Bird, and I saw Arvydas Sabonis playing with the Soviet Union. They played Indiana. They used to do that back then. Like the Soviet would do, the Union would do a tour of the American colleges and play them. And I saw Sabonis, he was probably 19 or 20, and he just killed Indiana. And I was like, man, too bad the Celtics can't draft him, you know? But at the time, there's just no way. I mean, a few years later, I do think, was it Atlanta or Portland did draft Sabonis?
Well, he was with Portland later.
Yeah.
I don't know if they actually drafted him or can't remember exactly how he landed there, but he was definitely with them later, though.
Yeah, I remember because John Thompson was upset with whatever it was. It was either Portland or Atlanta, because when Sabonis had his Achilles surgeries, they helped to rehab him, and it was before the Olympics in 88, and John Thompson was the coach of the USA Olympic team. And he was not happy about that. I remember that they were helping the team that they might have to beat, which they ended up not beating, their best player, get ready for the Olympics. And I was like, well, you know, that's kind of what professionals do, you know. And you could see how it was kind of turned, the tide was turning a little bit, that there'd be more international players coming over. Once you saw stuff like that happening, which has turned the draft into a whole different animal than it used to be.
Yeah. Speaking of the Celtics, how surprised were you that they, being a huge fan, obviously you follow them pretty religiously, how surprised were you that they ended up in the playoffs and ended up actually as even the seventh seed?
Stunned. Shocked. After trading Rondo and Jeff Green, you're thinking, okay, they're doing the same thing. They're just trying to get into position for the draft. And they actually got better. And I'm just stunned that they actually made the playoffs. And not only that, but they were, what, after the All-Star break, the fourth best team in the league, I think, record-wise?
Yeah, and Brad, we trust, right?
Yeah. I was skeptical about a college coach jumping up and being the Celtics coach also, but it has seemed so far to be the right move. Although I still wish Paul Pierce was on the team. I think they could really use him in a playoff series, especially after the first game the Wizards played, and he had, what, 20 against Toronto and led them overtime victory. But, yeah, I'm just pleasantly surprised. I don't have much expectations that they'd beat Cleveland, but it's good experience. Brad Stevens gets a taste of pro NBA playoff coaching, and some of the younger players get a taste of being in the playoffs. So hopefully it bodes well for the future.
I think it was, oh man, which game was it? I was up in, it was when I was in Canada. Was that when did Smart put the tip in, the putback against Toronto in overtime.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who the... I thought it was Evan Turner, who just had a... was just lighting it up with... it was a fun matchup with him and DeRozan from Toronto. And I was just thinking, because Turner was, I mean, he was a bust, you know?
Yeah, the second pick in the draft.
Yeah, with Philadelphia, and then there it is, yeah.
You have kind of a love-hate relationship with Turner, because you watch him in some games, he's like, man, you can do this, he can do that.
18 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists.
Yeah, he does, he's a master, jack of all trades, he's a master of none of them. But then other games, he's horrible, and he's turning the ball over constantly, and you're like, get him out. He's just a maddening player.
Yeah.
But he has helped them steady a little bit to get into the playoffs, because he actually, one of the players, was it him and probably Brandon Bass, that have playoff experience. Because he was on the Sixers, the Turner. I remember the one year they played the Celtics in the playoffs, and the Celtics beat him in 7. I think that was 2012. Then they went on to lose to the Heat in 7 games, but I don't want to talk about that.
What have you thought about Marcus Smart? Obviously, a guy who, you know, came back for his sophomore year, and then also played really just, you know, I'll be the guy who doesn't have to score at all for USA team at U19s last year. What'd you think of or 2 years? 2 years ago, what'd you think of his performance this year?
I think he's done pretty well. His offense is behind his defense. He's a very good defensive player. I think he picks up a lot of fouls just because he's a rookie and he's really playing on-ball defense. And he'll get some more of the benefit of that with the officials as he goes on. I was pretty pleased with him. He's still shooting a little inconsistent, but he's really helped the backcourt with him and Bradley and Turner in the backcourt. They have a nice rotation, and he's fearless. He'll guard anybody. He don't care, which is a good thing on that team. And he seems to be pretty flexible with whatever the coach wants to do, and he doesn't mind not shooting. So I was pretty glad when they picked him up. And he seems to fit in pretty well. He's probably one of their, if you think on their team, they trade so many of them, they have a constant rotation of players, he'd be one of the players that I think they would be least likely to trade unless it was some kind of blockbuster deal. Just I think that they're pretty high on him just from what he can do.
You look at this roster and you know, you don't necessarily think it's a playoff roster.
No. You look at Brandon Bass and Tyler Zeller. You have Marcus Smart's a rookie. You have Evan Turner's kind of a cast off the Pacers. Couldn't wait to get rid of him. Avery Bradley's a decent player. He's kind of a smaller
shooting guard. Isaiah
Thomas
is so small.
He's, 5'8"? and then you got Kelly Olynyk, who he's got some offensive skill, but his defense is, man, he might be one of the worst defensive players in the league. You got Jared Sullinger, who's been hurt a lot, and he's probably overweight. Now, the more I think of it, man, Brad Stevens is a genius. How do you scrape these guys together?
Well, there's no I in team, I guess, right?
Yeah. And you'd think if he can do that with these guys, if he had one really top-notch player, just one.
Well, there's enough picks.
Yeah, he's got, Brooklyn's pick, was it next year, or they have it this year? I'm not sure. I know they have it next year. They have two, and then two, almost every year. I think they have two this year because they have the Clippers pick for Doc Rivers. They actually got a pick out of that.
They got a pick for Rivers, that's right, huh?
I believe that is this year. I mean, it's not going to be very high because the Clippers are good, but still, you never know who you may find. You may find the next Emmanuel Ginobili or somebody like that, Jimmy Butler, guys that are excelling out of the second round or low first round.
Looks like they have two.
Okay.
Is what it is. And then what do they have? They have Philadelphia's second round pick.
Yeah, there's some kind of stipulation with that, I believe.
And then another, so they have four picks total, two first, two second round.
Yeah, so, and they have, they'll have some salary cap space.
Yeah, plus you can always pick somebody up and pick a European in the second round and stash them.
Yeah, Danny Ainge has not been big on that, they haven't drafted many European players.
Yeah, but there are some internationals on the team. You look at Jurepka, Olniak, and Datome.
Yeah,
maybe he's changed his ways.
Actually, yeah, I hope so because I thought Jurepko's been a pretty good addition to the team.
Yeah, I was looking at his stats, couldn't believe that he's had double digits the last couple, some of the last games.
Yeah, he got a lot of minutes in against Cleveland on Sunday too. He's been in the regular rotation since they pretty much got him, which I was glad to see.
Yeah.
Being the follower of the international game and your podcast. Now, was his father American or something?
Jurepka. I don't know.
And his mom Swedish? I don't know. I thought I may have heard that one time, but I could be wrong. It could have been another player.
So do you think they steal a game from... you didn't have necessarily getting into the playoffs. So,
I would hope they can win one game. Let's suppose
at home.
Say that. Hopefully, they can win a game
at home.
They're playing LeBron, who I agree with. He was the MVP. He should be the MVP. They seem to play LeBron every year, when they're in the playoffs almost.
That's true.
I just don't think they have the talent to maybe win more than one. If they had a really good game, they might be able to win one game.
Yeah, that's.
They just don't have the talent to match up with Cleveland.
Yeah. Son of former Syracuse forward Chris Yarepko is a Russian-American who played professionally in Sweden.
Okay.
So there's your...
So kind of. I knew he was some kind of American. He'd been here, his father or something. But I'm not sure if he was American, but I thought he had played here or something like that.
And you have the Clippers beating the Spurs in the first round, huh?
Yep. And I did make that before the game the other night.
Yeah. What do you see there?
When the Spurs lost the last game and they needed to win to get the second seed, and you're like, that's a game the Spurs always win. They always win games like that. You get the second seed, they get home series, the first two series that they make. And then they lost that. I mean, granted, the Pelicans were fighting for their playoff to get in the playoffs. I just thought maybe that there's just something not there this year. Could be tired legs, mentally tired. I mean, they're getting older, and they have, been in the finals the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of extra games. And I thought the Clippers were kind of a bad matchup for them with DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin and Paul, J.J. Redick. These guys run up and down the court.
Yeah.
And for them to, I don't know, it's just kind of a feel more than a logical thing because you're thinking, oh, the Spurs can beat the Clippers. They handled the Clippers before, and they still might. But I just thought maybe that this might not be the year for them. It'd be 1 year too many against this team. If they were matched up, say, would have been Dallas, I think, if they would have got the second.
No, they would have gotten the if they would have gotten a second, yeah, it would have been Mavericks. Mm-hmm.
See, now that'd be more, I would definitely think that they could beat Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had older Nowitzki, Monte Ellis, Rondo, Tyson Chandler's older.
Yeah.
They match up pretty well with them. But the Clippers are just, and the Clippers were actually hot at the end of the year, too. They've won. Had a nice winning streak going, so I don't know. I just thought that this could be it for them, but could have said that 6 years ago,
right?
Yeah, 6 years ago, and watching Aaron Baines trying to have to handle Blake Griffin the other night did not inspire much confidence that the Spurs would be able to win the series. What do you think about that series?
I mean, you just have to, it seems to me, you just have to have faith that the Wiley veterans will be able to, you know, figure out the advantages, how to make the advantages, you know, that they're, I imagine they're going to have to win close games. I don't think they're going to blow the Clippers out very many games. So just have to figure out how to win those games. And I mean, they have the experience to do that, take advantages of the things that they do well, and that they do better than the Clippers do. And I mean, they were in danger of not making it to the playoffs. So it seemed that, until Pop said, get your heads out of your asses. And now, you know, they put together that great streak. It seems to me that that they'll be able to figure it out, you know. I mean, losing the game, in theory, it's they only need to win one of those games in Los Angeles, you know, as long as they hold home court. So
it's true.
You know, so they can afford to lose that first game, and not play well. They know they can play better, and then just go there and try to steal steal game two on Wednesday and then hold home court Friday, Sunday. And then you only need to win your last home game, you know. So
yeah, you can't put that Popovich can come up with something to slow the Clippers down either, because he seems to have an answer almost every time.
Yeah.
And he is from the high school from around here, so it's another thing.
Popovich is?
Yeah, he went to Maryville High School.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Which is the rival of the high school I went to.
Okay.
But he's quite a few years advanced of me in school, but actually he's from Maryville High School. I think he graduated in like 60s maybe.
Cool.
Yep.
Pops. Yeah, but I would love to see Golden State and San Antonio, you know. Not that I would have to see San Antonio in the final, but the Golden State, it's such a fun team, you know.
Yeah.
They do have so many weapons, and I think Green was Green made that team, you know, when everybody, you know, people were kind of fearful about, you know, Lee being out, but, you know, Green, I mean, obviously Green was, Green, you know, I liked watching Green when he was at Michigan State, so, and he just took a huge step, so it was just really impressed. I mean, you knew you're going to have Curry and Thompson, but Curry, man, he's so much fun. He's awesome.
I don't like to watching him shoot.
Just shoot. I mean, there's the shooting's amazing, but you know, so many other things that he does as well. You know, I mean, all the, you know, the playmaking that he's able to do and set people up and everything else. I mean, obviously that helps that, you know, you have to stay on him and he could beat you, and but then he can also find all these guys. You know, so
yeah. Couldn't quite make a stay up last night to watch the whole Golden State game.
Yeah, I couldn't wake up early enough for that.
I did watch the Bulls game, since they are the local team. I wear the Pacers are also a local team.
Yeah,
but I did watch the Jimmy Butler show last night for the Bulls. But so
you think that if Rose can play pretty big, that they have a chance against Cleveland?
I think they have a chance. I don't think they would win, though.
Yeah.
I can't see him, because I just think of even when he was MVP, Derrick Rose
still couldn't beat him.
They still couldn't beat LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, that was Miami, and that was 4 years ago, but they still couldn't do it. And now I think that Miami team might be better than this Cleveland team, but I don't think the Bulls are as good as that Bulls team was either. That team had what, Korver and Asik. And Noah, a healthy, full-going Noah,
mm-hmm.
and Rose, and just they had Lou Aldane, who actually was the one player that actually they had that kind of bothered LeBron a little bit. So I just don't see it, but I wouldn't put it past that they could do it, just because of the depth of the team. I mean, they have Mirotic, Butler. If Heinrich can come back and play, Noah and Gasol, just they have so much. It just doesn't seem to be coming together as much as you would think. But then again, they're also the third seed in the playoffs. You think, well, the Bulls haven't quite been what they should have been, and yet there they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They're still a third seed in the playoffs. Even then, they had some spells without Rose and without Butler and without Dunleavy. And Noah, and they still held together. I don't know if it's that good or it's just they play in Eastern Conference.
Do you know, it's one thing that actually I haven't even looked at all. Do you know if anybody's picked Atlanta to reach the finals? even though they're a top seed? And
no.
What did they end up winning? I mean...
They limped a little bit at the end of the year, but I think he was
rusty. They
ended
up 60 with 60 wins.
Yeah, I've not seen anybody pick them to to get to the five. I've seen them in the Eastern Conference Finals picked, but not to be in the finals. Yeah, and honestly,
Eastern Conference, I mean, that's them beating Brooklyn and, you know, either Toronto or Washington, which, you know,
it's not possible.
is you know, is not the biggest of tasks, even though I picked Toronto to beat them, but.
That's kind of almost like a 50-50 series.
The Toronto, you know, and Washington one?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you could flip a coin on who's going to win that one.
Yeah.
To me, they're like pretty evenly matched. I would think Toronto would win. I still think, even though the Wizards won the first game, that Toronto should still win the series. But I don't know. I mean, they're one of those teams you thought would be do better this year, too, I thought at times. But we'll see. I was hoping, actually, the Pacers would get that eighth spot on the last day because I thought they could beat Atlanta in the first round.
Yeah, with George came back, right?
Yeah, he came back. He had hurt his calf in that last game. Mm-hmm. And when they carried him off the floor, you were thinking the worst.
Yeah.
But it was just his calf. And I was, you know, you're thinking, man, the Pacers have been playing really well. That, yeah, if they had Paul George playing 15 minutes a game, I was thinking they could maybe beat Atlanta. Because they just seemed to match up pretty decent with them. But it didn't happen, so. Mainly because Larry Bird runs the team. You like to see Pacers do well.
So, would I, you know, to be honest, I don't know if I really would. If it's Atlanta against Houston, would you actually watch the finals?
Me, yeah, I watch it. I'd find reasons to watch. Could watch Atlanta's teamwork and watch James Harden go to work, get 10 foul shots a game.
Yeah,
I don't know. In general, the NBA audience, larger audience, might not find that so exciting, but I'd probably watch it.
Yeah.
Would you?
I mean, as long as, well, I guess Houston and Atlanta, I mean, the Atlanta games might be kind of hard to watch live. But the Houston ones made an hour difference. We'll see. I don't think it'll come to that, but
no.
Golden State would be nice because it'd be that much later. That it would be that much earlier, you know, that much later in the, you know, it'd be that much more possible to get it.
It's kind of matchups because you'd think, I mean, I would think Golden State would be in the finals, but I was thinking, well, if they played the Spurs, maybe the Spurs would be the team that'd be able to beat them, but it doesn't look like they'll play the Spurs. They're not even in the first two rounds.
No, they can't meet the Spurs until the finals.
Yeah, so I can't see Houston beating them. I couldn't see
Clippers.
The Clippers. Nah, actually, it's kind of a testy rivalry, Clippers and Warriors.
Yeah.
I couldn't see Dallas or somebody beating them. I just can't. I mean, the Pelicans are giving them a decent games, but they're just overmatched.
Well, that's, I mean, there's also, I mean, Davis is, you know, dominant in the one position where Golden State is, you know, doesn't have the depth.
No. So. I mean, if New Orleans had one other player that was an all-star level player,
it'd be closer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd be thinking, okay, they can play with them because Davis is just so dominating. Whatever his matchup is, he just, you know, defensively and offensively. And they just don't have that other player. A couple of the other players are nice, but they're not all-star level, top-level players. And Golden State's got, what, one, two, three. Even David Lee's really good. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even play that whole lot. And they got Bogut, got Draymond Green.
Yeah.
So it's just not a good matchup. I mean, everybody was probably kind of hoping that Oklahoma City got that last spot.
I wasn't.
At least you could watch Westbrook.
Okay, Westbrook against Curry, you know, that may be fun, but, you know.
You watch him shoot 40 times a game.
I don't like that team, you know. I don't like, you know, even Durant, you know, I'm not that big of a fan of him. And
Well, I think their issues are Kevin Durant's a big guy. He's tall, and he's got foot issue. And there's a lot of NBA history with big guys with feet problems really having trouble moving forward. in their careers. So we shall see how he does. Because they're saying, when is he coming back?
I don't even know. I haven't even looked and see where when he's expected to.
He's had two surgeries, I think, on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, people are just assuming, yeah, he'll be back, and would you trade for him? And because his contract's over in 2016, and but I'd be kind of wondering. I'd like to see him.
Yeah, wait till he comes back and plays.
Yep.
To see how he looks. You want to move over to your league real quick? Have you watched?
Yeah.
So I guess you had you had Madrid in 4, Moscow in 3, Fenerbahce in 5, and Olympiacos in 5. Fenerbahce obviously have you know, 2015 is the year of ending the curse. Looks good for Cubs fans, huh?
Now you're getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah, I know. Fenerbahce,
they're in there.
They swept Maccabi. Real Madrid, 2-0, and Moscow ended up losing a game to Panathinaikos.
Yeah, I'm shocked. It's like the Celtics being in the playoffs. I'm shocked that.
I mean, as long as what was the score of that game? You know, that's one thing.
It was one point, wasn't it? Something
yeah, like but I mean, but it was it was in the 80s. So I mean, it seems that you know, Panathinaikos, if they you know, they defend tough, and you know, and if they figured that if they could, you know, keep it close, you know, they always have a shot. But I mean, it's, I don't see them winning another one. And but you know, I mean, one of the guys this year, I think, you know, one of my you know, personal cheese ball is a guy who's just I'm so happy that he's playing well this year is Papas.
He had
25, yeah. And you know, he's part of that generation, that golden generation. Everybody knows about Papanikolaou and Sloukas and Monseris, but both him, both Papas and Jankovic, were both part of that golden generation that won all those titles. And so I'm really happy that both of them are really doing well, but. I can't see him getting another game off them.
No, I would think that Moscow would win the next game.
Yeah,
and then
you picked Olympiacos. I picked Barcelona. Actually, I think I'd probably rather have picked Olympiacos, but I mean, because I would rather see Olympiacos. But maybe it's the old. You know, because I picked Maccabi as well, and whoever I pick doesn't make it. So,
well, it's
the close matchups, at least. You know,
I didn't pick Maccabi because Blatt's not there this year, and
yeah, I know you were. I guess you were probably surprised that he lasted the whole year, huh?
Yeah.
They kept on advancing, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised. And I thought
you had him out in the preseason. Almost.
Yeah. After they lost to Flamengo in their Continental Cup. Yeah, I was watching that. I was like, they got to fire him. Yeah, in the Barcelona Olympiacos, that was, for me, the toughest one to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you look at the teams, you think, okay, Barcelona should win this. But Olympiacos is like the Spurs almost. You know?
Olympiacos, didn't they go 5? They went 5 against Real Madrid last year.
Yeah, they just always
and
seem
it's,
to be
And
there.
It's Olympiacos. It's Spanoulis and company, you know?
Yes, I thought that they would win. It's at 1-1, so. And they're going back to Piraeus.
Yeah, Piraeus is the game 3.
But Barcelona can easily win on the road. It's not like it, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I still expect a 5-game series and Olympiacos to win in Barcelona in game 5.
Yeah. I don't really feel totally comfortable with my pick, but although I mean also because I think I'd rather see Olympiacos in Madrid, you know. at the Final Four. You know, over Barcelona.
Yeah, and then Madrid. They play what today, right?
They play. Yeah, they.
One of my cheese balls plays for them is Nocioni.
Nocioni. Yeah,
he had a nice dunk the other day. You see
I'm
that?
Not the biggest fan of Nocioni though.
Nah. I told you he was on the Bulls, too.
Yeah.
Played locally here. He seemed to, he was like a fan favorite. Chapu.
He was part of the great team that won in Indy, so.
Oh, yeah. In 2002, right?
Yeah, 2002, so.
Yeah, one of my other cheese balls was on the American team, Paul Pierce on that
Paul
team.
Paul Pierce,
the
yeah.
leading scorer. They didn't, for something happened with some of those players, they didn't invite them, a lot of those back, maybe because they lost. They came in, what, sixth or something? That,
yeah, they lost to, actually I remember, because I was in Indianapolis for that, and I remember going around looking for newspapers, and the Chicago Tribune, the headline was, Down Goes Goliath.
Wow.
Because that was the first time they lost in a FIBA tournament with professionals.
It was to Argentina, wasn't it?
It was to Argentina, exactly. And then they lost to...
New Zealand?
And then they lost to... No, they lost to... And they, I think they lost to then either... who did they lose to after that? Because that was...
They lost to Yugoslavia in that tournament.
Serbia Montenegro, I think is what they were. That they won it, and then...
Okay.
And I think... they lost to Puerto Rico as well. I think they lost to Spain and Puerto Rico. No. I can't remember. But I know they did lose three times.
I remember that they were saying, you know, the final was Argentina and...
Serbia-Montenegro. Yeah.
And they were saying, you know, well, it'd be pretty neutral. But in the Chicago area, there's a big Serbian population.
Well, there's a Serbian,
every one of them.
There's a Serbian governor, too, for a while.
Yeah, for a while. He's somewhere else right now. Colorado. For people that don't know, he's in jail.
Exactly.
But there, like, I think every Serbian descendant from this area was at that game, cheering on Vladi and company.
Yeah.
I was cheering for Argentina, but it was a good in overtime. It was a really good game. FIBA History Day, FIBA History. Do you remember, what was the first, I'll ask you a question. What was the first FIBA Olympic or World Championship that you remember paying attention to?
I seem to have in mind just vaguely Toronto.
Okay, yeah.
But I couldn't tell you anything about it, but I seem to remember that it happening. And then probably, I'm just trying to think, Toronto was what, 80?
Toronto was in 1994.
Was that 94?
Yeah, because it was the second Dream Team, kind of. So it wasn't really.
No, was it? Okay, what was 98 then?
98 was in, was that in Greece? No. I'm pretty sure 94 was in Toronto, but I'm not sure when 98 was. And 90 was in Argentina.
I don't remember.
And 86 was in Spain. The first one I remember was 86.
Was 86? And who was that that you remember?
That was the first, it was the FIBA World Championship.
And why do you remember that one?
They had this thing called the Goodwill Games that Turner Sports put on, and they didn't have a basketball, so they just showed the games from the FIBA World was going on at the same time. And I was watching games, and there's Arvydas Sabonis playing for the Soviet Union, and then there's this guy for Brazil shooting 30 times a game named Oscar Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. had David Robinson, and I remember watching the semifinals and the final of that. And the U.S. won, I think, by 4 in the final. And Sabonis had a couple of really good dunks on David Robinson. And that's when I started really
Petrovic and Gallas then, huh?
Yeah, that was the famous game. I don't know if you ever looked on YouTube the highlights of the last 5 minutes of the USSR-Yugoslavia game when Yugoslavia had like an 8-point lead with 30 seconds to go or something, and the Soviet Union tied it and sent it in overtime and won. It was you have to look that up sometime. Then I remember watching that game, and I was like, who are these guys? Who's Drazen Petrovic? Mm-hmm. Who's Oscar Schmidt? I actually knew Sabonis was already. Who's Remus Kurchinaitis of the Soviet Union? These guys are pretty good, and I just kind of started following more of international basketball after that. This, you know, this before the internet, my ancient days before the internet and that kind of stuff. So it was pretty hard. But luckily, NBA teams started taking interest in these players, so you get to read a little bit more in the local, you know, like Sports Illustrated would talk about Vlade Divac and Sabonis and other players like that.
I remember it's sort of the first time how I got into, let's call it international basketball, it's actually just club international basketball, was when was that? That must have been around 94, 5, somewhere around there, I guess, was... God, what was his name? Rashard Griffith. Remember him from King?
Yes, King I High do. School? King High School in Chicago, and yeah. He played with Ginobili at Bologna.
And he was, I think he was with a Turkish team, and they were playing in Frankfurt. And I just happened to go over to going up to that game, and was doing research, and I'm like, I know that name, don't I? I mean, because obviously from Chicago area, and you know that was just an amazing time for Chicago basketball too. And and so that kind of like whetted my appetite and to start looking for other guys. And another guy I saw was the name was this is like the very beginning of like internet and stuff like that, was Tom Kleinschmidt. From
he's from the Chicago area.
From and then went to DePaul, exactly. And Sherrard Ford. Ford, the guy who went to Proviso East and was on the
UIC that he got.
And then went to UIC, exactly.
Yeah. He was on was he on Bologna? They won the Euro Challenge.
I can't remember. He was bouncing around but those guys, I saw them. There's names like in box scores in whatever games, you know, in Italy or wherever, and that kind of like, you know, started my whole. I want to see where these guys are, where are they, and what are they doing and stuff. So that kind of how I started into it, and then really internationally, it kind of. You know, I think it was probably 2001 was the first, you know, the European Championship. I guess 2000 was the Olympics, and then 2001 where I covered the European Championship for DPA from Germany, just on television. It was on German television, I don't even know who won anymore, but I know that, that was the game where, Germany was up by 3 with just a few seconds against Turkey and didn't foul. And it was in Turkey.
Okay.
And then I think it was actually Turkoglu hit a 3, and so that kind of started the international, and then was able to go to Indianapolis and covered the world championship there. So
that'd have been a really good tournament to cover.
That was fun.
You were there to see the USA lose their first time, and
exactly.
Professionals, you got to see young guys like Ginobili and coming up, and who's the guy that played for New Zealand? Was it Kirk Penny?
Penny was there, but was also Cameron.
Okay.
Pero Cameron, the big guy. chubby guy.
And they came in when Dirk was there?
Man,
you had Divac and Stojakovic.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce. I just looked up the 98 FIBA World Championship was in Greece.
98.
My useless knowledge, I know. Yeah. So it's like these guys were just international guys to me, just pre-internet and stuff, are just kind of a mystery. You just like, how do they play on club teams? I wonder what team, you know. And being at Purdue at the time in '86, I could get the newspapers also from other countries at the library. So I would go to a library and I'd get the Italian newspaper, and I can read Italian fairly well. And I would read about, you know, Oscar Schmidt, 50 points, and some of the other guys that were in the tournament. And like the international, they had like the Cup Winners' Cup or something back then. And Drazen Petrovic was playing, and Sabonis was on Kaunas at the time, I believe. So it was just kind of, and you kind of imagine what these guys played like, because you only saw them once every, what, 2 years? And I remember telling people in my dorm that that the USA was not going to win the 88 gold medal in Seoul, that they weren't going to, you know, everybody's like, yeah, come on, we always win. I'm like, they're not going to win this time. Mm-hmm. You know, John Thompson did not pick the right team for international play in this tournament. And they didn't. They lost. Not that I wanted them to lose. I was hoping they'd win, but didn't work out like that.
So you've remained a listener?
Yep. I appreciate the podcast. It gives me something to listen to when I'm walking or working out.
Yeah. So those shooting workouts, do those workouts change in length or?
Well, if it's a long walk, put the podcast on. If it's a short workout, we probably put some music on or something, you know.
I know we had some long podcasts there for a while there.
It's a what? I'm sorry.
We had some long podcasts there for a while.
Oh, yeah, a couple. One was really...
was a couple minutes short of 4 hours.
I remember one I listened to, I had to go to Wisconsin, and it was about a five-hour drive. And the whole half the drive I got to listen to. It was the one when the first time you had Chuck Davis, and you had the guy Robinson, I think, on the... on that one, too.
Yeah.
Two long interviews, and there was a lot of EuroLeague to talk. And I was like, man, it kept me busy on my drive to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You have a gift that keeps on giving, Dave.
Yeah. Did we turn you on to any movies? Did you watch any of them or no?
Not a big movie watcher. Mm-hmm. I did. Actually, the one I did get was the documentary on Lithuanian basketball.
Okay. Yeah.
I did get that one. And I actually shared it with my stepfather, and he enjoyed it, too. Uh-huh. I let my daughter watch it, but she could care less about basketball. Yeah. She'd be like, throw it. So, yep, not big movie watchers, but I did listen to the reviews.
Yeah. Well, hey, I know you probably have to slowly but surely start getting back to work to work, and I probably should... move on to doing some work.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Totally appreciate you being such a loyal listener and active person in the Facebook group. Really appreciate the comments that you guys put out there you guys being there just kind of helped, you know, say, okay, well, when Oz said he couldn't do it anymore, really said to me, all right, I really probably should just keep going. So I just wanted to thank you and then obviously thank the rest of the listeners. I know I do that quite a bit, but, definitely it's very cool to have you guys out there and, totally appreciate it.
Thanks. We appreciate the podcast every week, too. I know it's a lot of work, and we really appreciate it. I do. I enjoy it.
All right. Fantastic.
I'm glad you do it. All right.
Fantastic. So I think it's just great that you guys out there are just so so informed, know the game so much. Vince watches more. He probably actually watches more NBA and EuroLeague than I do. I haven't had a chance to watch any EuroLeague, other than kind of yesterday, Tuesday night, where I was watching FS and then also watched the Olympiacos Barcelona game. So just, I hope to kind of catch up to it now just because I will be going over there. I'd really like to try to watch a little bit of CSK. Maybe some of their tougher games
somewhat prepared for the Final Four in Madrid. Just various other work issues keeping me kind of from that, but do want to get that. Great stuff. And you know, he's up near Chicagoland area, and actually gets down to see Indianapolis to see the Pacers play a couple times, and so you know, has had that, and really just, you know, watches a lot of basketball, and you know, a couple years older than me, and has been following the international game a little bit longer, so was nice also talking to him before we recorded. Also just talking about some of the guys that he got into, that helped him get into the game. And, really, really appreciate it. Thanks, Vince, for taking the time, go to work early. So I guess that's the show this week. The final thing I need to let you know is what you're going to listen to. Song's a little bit longer than what I usually try to put in there. I guess it's a little bit different, but song's called Cat Gifts Vidya, The Cow Meets Squeak, and it's by The Cow Goes Moo. And of course it is available, like all the music I play, here on the show, at freemusicarchive.org. So please go out and enjoy that. And we will talk to you in a week's time, and enjoy the great basketball going on right now.
Hello, my name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.